This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Power Cat Podcast, GoPowerCat.com's Kansas State Athletics Show. Make sure you're subscribing to our show at Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, from the GPC studios, here's your host, Go Power Cat publisher, Tim Fitzgerald.
It is the Power Cat Questions Podcast, brought to you by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. I'm Tim Fitzgerald, Zach Carlson, Cole Carmody, and Ryan Gilbert. The whole gang is on hand today, except for Dude. I don't know where Dude. Dude went upstairs. Daphne's in here. The whole gang except one giant poodle. Oh, man. Our thoughts and prayers go out to our own Dr. J on the message boards. Brother, hang in there. He posted something personal up there on the boards. If you remember Wabash Station, you know what it's about. We are really thinking of you. And, yeah, we appreciate you thinking of Wabash Station as family, that you would share such information. Man, I'll just say this. Cancer can bite my ass. Man, it's just not fun stuff to deal with. Trust me, and you're dealing with the worst of it. And speaking of the worst of it, Iowa State's coming to town. How was that for a transition? Was that good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? No? Okay. Zach didn't fully approve of that transition. 3-2, the Cyclones. This game is so big for Iowa State. Hope we have some really good questions. Both teams are 3-2 heading into Saturday night, 6:30 kick at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. It's going to be chilly. Zach, you got to take your layered wear.
Yep. From shorts to sweats.
41 degrees is the low.
On Saturday night?
Yeah, it's going to be like 3 a.m. though. Calm down.
It'll be in the 50s, right?
Yeah, it'll be cold, but like it's not going to be the coldest. Plus, I saw the highs like 10 degrees higher than what it was yesterday. So
a few weeks ago, it got to like 70, and I was wearing a pullover, and I was thinking, just think, the great thing about Kansas weather is in 4 months, this will be hot.
You know what
they
say?
Now it's cold.
You know what they say? If you don't like the weather in Kansas, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a little bit, but we're in that time of year in Kansas where you get all four seasons in one day.
Was it second summer where it's like week long in October?
False fall. That's my favorite one. False fall. And it does it. It shows up like, hey, it's fall. Kidding. Now it's 100 degrees. Our segment sponsors are Tanners and the High Low. Make sure when you come to town on Saturday, you visit our sponsors. And if anything, make sure you support local businesses like Tanners, High Low, and of course, Fridge Wholesale Liquor. It's really important to what Manhattan's about. You know, people always try to make comparisons with college towns, you know, whether it's Stillwater or Ames or another college town came up recently. I was talking to someone about that is often compared to Manhattan and the similar state type ag school. And they said there's hardly any local restaurants. There's just hardly any places to go eat. Even there's not many franchises. It's just a whole different atmosphere. It's very strange. And I thought, well, maybe I should go open a business there.
What's the city?
Pullman.
Hmm.
Yep. Very, very strange. We have something special in Manhattan. Make sure you support it whenever you come to town. And it's going to be fun. I bet you Saturday night's crowd is just electric. Well, by electric, I mean drunk. But aren't all football crowds drunk nowadays? So, Cole, I heard you went to the Chiefs game the other night and got in a fight. Is that you?
Just because I'm wearing red does not mean I'm red extreme.
You're not red extreme?
No.
You're not X Factor?
Nope.
Oh. You know, you're named Cole Carmody. You could say, like, you could spell Chiefs with two C's at the front and be like, be Chiefs man with two C's.
Would I be in the super fan community?
I didn't know there was actually a super fan community until this incident between these two, I'm not going to say it, these two super fans. It took place during the game Sunday night. It's incredible. There's a whole community, apparently. But, yeah, I think X-Raxter stopped getting invited to the potlucks. He kept bringing pot. Here's your questions from Wabash Station. I think Gills has it.
Correct.
Here we go.
First question comes from Chris 66204. How important is this game against Iowa State this weekend?
To Iowa State.
Oh, sorry.
I totally got to leave that in. I was going to bleep it out, but
I thought,
man,
it was a typo, so I assumed.
No.
Okay. You know, it is funny. We focus on K-State. I talked about it in the walk and talk. This game's huge. I keep saying it. This game's huge. This game's huge. It just feels like it's that kind of year. It has some added importance to it coming off the pandemic, third season of a head coach, all of that. But you're right. Who asked this question?
Chris 66204.
Yeah, that was like 30 seconds ago. I can't remember that long. Chris, it's huge for Iowa State. Well, first of all, their season's trashed already. I mean, they had dreams of a Big 12 title, of a top 10 finish, of getting in the playoffs. All those things were tangible for them, and they're all gone. Maybe not the Big 12 title. They can still resurrect that by going on a winning streak.
But he listed their schedule off.
But their team, this team is not playing consistent enough to accomplish it. And read that schedule. Cole, you still got it up around somewhere? Because this schedule is unbelievable. They've already lost to Baylor. Now they're coming to K-State. Keep in mind, K-State has gotten Oklahoma State and Oklahoma out of the way. So they've gotten two of the three toughest teams, maybe. I assume so. Maybe Baylor's in there. Maybe Iowa State's in there. I don't think so.
Texas.
But Texas is not until the very last game of the season. So now they have this incredible six-game in the middle. Meanwhile, Iowa State,
they obviously come to town, to Manhattan, and they play K-State on Saturday night. And then they host Oklahoma State for, you know, by all intents and purposes, is probably going to be undefeated going into that game. I'm not sure. They might have a bye week this week, actually. But obviously, that's going to be another tough game. Then they have to go to Morgantown, which, even though West Virginia might appear to be down, you still have to go into Morgantown. No easy task. And then they host Texas. So that is a gauntlet. There's just no other way around it. So you could feasibly say that they could lose all of those games. I mean, it's very realistic.
It's incredible. They have to get their feet under them. And keep in mind, their three wins are a very unimpressive performance against Northern Iowa. And then they thumped a trash team from Nevada, Las Vegas, and a trash team from Kansas, Lawrence. That's it. They haven't accomplished a damn thing this season. They've played two decent opponents and lost.
You can make the argument that Iowa was, I mean, sure, they're number two in the country right now, but they weren't that good when they played Iowa State. Iowa did a lot of growing up in these last few weeks, and that was another home game to where people thought, hey, this is going to make us, Iowa State, the leaders in the Big 12, one of the best teams in the country. And it just went to show, I think, maybe what we all thought was, you're not as good as you thought you were.
I was going to have two losses. This is way too early for anyone to be talking about playoff for them. I think the Big Ten is not very good this year. I think there's only one really good team in the country, and they're really good. And it's not Alabama. It's Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I saw this ridiculous story. Could the Big 10 and the SEC get two teams each in the playoff? Well, first of all, the ability to do that is so many things have to fall in place, but I just don't see the committee doing it. You want to get 12 teams sooner rather than later? Exclude three Power Fives from the 4-team playoff. You'll get it real fast. And, oh, by the way, maybe if Cincinnati's, you know, eligible and still winning, and you leave them out too, oh, you'll get the playoff real soon.
If we want to talk about playoff. If BYU goes undefeated and Cincinnati goes undefeated, BYU. I like the theory that BYU will actually have a much tougher schedule and they'll leapfrog Cincinnati.
Yeah, there's one problem.
They lost.
Oh, they lost.
Was that this week?
Yep.
No. I didn't watch football this weekend. I watched Texas OU.
They had a quarter like K-State did against Southern Illinois. They turned the ball over. Who was it? Why am I spacing out who it was?
Boise.
Was it after dark?
No, it was in like 2:30.
That's right. Oh. It was Boise.
At home.
Just rewind my voice.
Because Boise's not very good. Yeah.
All right. Well.
So, But yeah, they're good. BYU still would be in the upper half of this conference.
I think they're 12th in the country or something like that. Like they could finish the season ranked in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I can't stop thinking about X Factor. I'm so worried about it. Just so worried about it.
Is that my cue to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Next question from Imarica. What's the key to getting pressure on Purdy? Who needs to step up? Who's your pick for the surprise defensive player of the game if the Cats win?
Crew Jackson. So out of nowhere today, well, not out of nowhere. I think it was Derek Young asked him early on about who stood out here in the, you know, the younger players got time in the off week. And he mentioned Crew Jackson kind of out of nowhere. And so I followed up later in the press conference because I was a little curious. Crew came in. He's 6'6". I don't know if he really is. That's what he was listed at. And he came in as a safety. It's a weird measurement. It doesn't make sense. And he had also mentioned Khalid Duke. Losing him makes it hard to replace what he brings to the table. They've got other DNs, but he could slide back to linebacker. And he flat out said, we kind of designed some of this defense around a player like Khalid. Now we don't have him. And then he said, when I asked him what position he's playing, he goes, basically Khalid. So they're using him in the Khalid Duke role right now, where he can back up to linebacker. Honestly, I'm shocked they're not doing that with Nate Matlack either, Maybe they are. So keep an eye on that. But yeah, the key is just beating your blocks. I feel like it just comes down to where those guys want to. Timmy Horn has to be consistent. And I know it's tough to do rep after rep of pushing the center back into the backfield, but that's what he's capable of doing, and he has to do it. I'm just going to say it. If Brock Purdy gets comfortable, if Breece Hall gets some good early runs and Brock Purdy gets comfortable, this game ain't going to be close. Because I got bad news for you folks. We keep talking about recruiting and recruiting and recruiting, and I don't care if K-State loses to Oklahoma and Texas and even Oklahoma State in recruiting. They have proven to squander the amount of talent they get in the recruiting trail. Iowa State, as people said throughout today's press conference, is so much like K-State. They're building their program up there like a Bill Snyder program or like what Chris Klieman's doing, and they're beating K-State for players consistently. They have a better roster right now. You can argue all you want about Deuce Vaughn's incredible. Breece Hall's better. And maybe just because he's older and more advanced. Brock Purdy, well, I don't like his inconsistencies, but when he's on, and he was on last year in Ames, he will rip you apart. And I think he's an NFL guy. I think they'll put him in a situation where he can be more consistent because the NFL is so different than college with what they ask quarterbacks to do. Iowa State has a better roster. They just do. Mike Rose on defense, holy crap.
He's a stud.
He's got beautiful hair, too.
This is going to be a really interesting game. I'm way off the question now. But, yes, I think it'll be – I'll just say Timmy Horn. Timmy Horn's got to dominate the middle of that line and wreak havoc because if he can just collapse the into the backfield every time, it's just – you can't operate that way. So that'll be my answer.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little scared for the defensive end position. Because I know they said that they would expect Bronson Mask to be back at some point. He's in a sling. So he's not playing this week. Unless he has a miraculous recovery. He's in a sling. So he's not playing this week. Right. Well, that leaves you with Felix Anadike Uzomah, Nate Matlack, and Spencer Trussell.
And Pickle.
And Pickle. If they want to slide him out there.
Which they do quite often.
Sure.
Which I'm not crazy about.
They have consistently played 6 defensive ends. So who are those other guys going to be? At some point, they're going to have to come into the game. And I think what made them so successful earlier on in the season is that they played so many guys. They had fresh legs, and they were able to get pressure on the quarterback. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that now. Now, with that being said, that just means it leaves it up to your defensive tackles to step up. You said Timmy Horn. I'm going to say Eli Huggins because in order for Timmy Horn to be good, Eli Huggins has to be good.
Right.
It's just how it works. So, I mean, I know I just named the whole entire defensive line, but I think it starts in the middle. So I'll say Eli Huggins.
Okay.
I'll go with a defensive back. I'll go T. Denson. I feel like this could be a multiple interception game for Brock Purdy. I don't know. I don't have a good reason why.
If it is, K-State will win. If he's off, K-State will win.
But if Brock, like you said, if Brock Purdy's off, K-State can win. And I think that winning that turnover battle, hopefully, they've been able to do in the past, that's the edge that they can take and get the win. But I'll make just a random bold prediction. T. Denson, 2 interceptions.
Mm.
And let's just say it, 1 for a TD.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, you got it. You don't got a choice over there?
Don't come at me so if I'm wrong.
Do I have to have a choice?
No, you don't have to have
He's going
to
look like Dan Sorensen now.
Who's the most random player I can think of?
Oh, boy. Random player.
Ross Elder's going to go off.
Ross Elder's going to go off. Watch him go off. Told you guys. Told you.
It's like Nick Allen at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, exactly.
From K-Ned, does last week's offensive outputs by the rest of the league cause you any concerns with predictions, or is it just 1 week?
I'm a little lost in this league right now. I don't know what's going on with the defenses, but Oklahoma's defense is trash. I mean, they finally pulled it together at the end. It almost just looks like they're not playing hard. I don't know how that's possible, but they're just giving up so many points. Texas surrendered a ton of points. Yeah, the thing about this is K-State's defense has to get more capable because K-State's offense isn't going to win shootouts. It's not designed to do that. It's not equipped to do that. And so they're going to have to get better performance from the defense. And that's really where I come down on this game. If K-State's defense isn't any better than it was last game out against Oklahoma, K-State's not going to win. Iowa State's going to score points, and I think Iowa State's defense is better than Oklahoma's. I do. I mean, I think they will stop K-State from scoring enough points to win. Pretty basic football right there. This defense for K-State has to get its you-know-what together.
I also think that Oklahoma's offense is the best in the Big 12. So when they're rolling, especially now when you put Caleb Williams in potentially, he looked really good on Saturday.
Looked like a Hall of Fame quarterback, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Parker Thune. He got that one right.
So, I mean, I think as much as it was K-State's defense looked terrible on Saturday or last Saturday against Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma's offense proved that they're pretty dang good.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, to answer the question from K-Ned, you look around the scores. We knew Texas Tech's defense was terrible. They gave up 52 points to TCU. West Virginia, Hold on.
How did you give up 52 points to that TCU offense? How?
That is a great question, isn't it? We know that Ryan's favorite team, the West Virginia Mountaineers, have struggled the entire season. They gave up 45 points to Baylor, whose offense has not been good at all. I mean, I don't know if it's a combination of bad defenses or good offenses, but I just think the conference is so Jekyll and Hyde.
I agree.
Flip a coin, and that's who's going to win.
I think it's going around college football right now. I mean, both Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State all have losses. I mean, it's just there's some inconsistency going around. And guys, I do stop to wonder, is the NIL playing into any of this? Is there distractions in some of these locker rooms? Is Spencer Rattler caught up in? How do you feel if you paid him whatever he got paid for his NIL and now he's probably not going to start again and probably will be in the transfer portal and is a villain to Oklahoma fans and you just paid him a lot of money to represent your company? Welcome to the minefield of the NIL. I mean, I can't help but wonder if there's some of this distraction getting into the locker room and affecting teams on the field.
Big time programs, yes.
And Georgia's been smart enough to spread the money around, probably. Guys, there's a pile of $17 million in the locker room. We're going to need to divide it up equally.
You're saying that they share their tips?
Yes, they share their tips.
Sounds like a very smart play by Kirby.
Kirby. Yes.
See, I know looking at what happened over the weekend with, you know, the offensive outputs, but I can't help but think K-State's played so well on defense at times and really for most of the season. Yeah, it sucks you lose Khalid Duke, but I think if K-State can go out and put together the defense that they've shown that they can put out there, I'm not really concerned by what everyone else is doing because K-State's defense has just been so formidable at times this year.
Cole, you're the guy that breaks down our film. I was struck by watching that Oklahoma game. I feel like when they go zone on the back end, they get passive.
Mm-hmm.
They get out of attack mode, which they were in. Now, I'm not saying they can never go to zone. I'm saying they were consistently in zone, and it puts them more in a passive footing as a defense. and it even affects the guys up front. I think this group of guys needs to be on the attack. And the right now, I've said this in the past, they're so focused on not giving up big plays, which I understand is important, that they've decided to give up the nickel and dime too, because they don't want to take chances. So yeah, you can throw it underneath. Yeah, you can throw it underneath. Yeah, you can throw it underneath. Next thing you know, they're just going down the field and demoralizing and exhausting your defense. In some ways, giving up the home run is better than giving up a 12-play drive.
Well, you said home run, and I'm going to go exactly into a baseball analogy. It is like a pitcher pitching around a hitter.
Right.
Instead of saying, guess what? I'm going to throw the ball, and you're going to have to hit it, and there's a good chance we're going to defend it, and we're going to get an out. Well, I'm going to pitch around the zone. I'm going to get behind in the count, and then I'm going to give up a home run. Eventually, I'm going to get beat. K-State, when they are playing zone coverage, especially against Oklahoma like they did, they almost looked like they were playing scared. I mean, that's the best way to put it. I mean, it's like, well, we are not going to let him beat us, and we'll take the dink and the dunks, but we're not going to let him beat us. Well, there comes a point where they can dink and dunk and find their way down the field. And so that is the bend but don't break defense. Obviously, the bending and breaking happened for the most part. But what doesn't make sense to me is because you have big corners on the edge. Mm-hmm. You have experienced safeties who you obviously trust to play multiple positions. If I'm Joe Klainerman, Chris Klieman, especially this week against Iowa State, we've seen bad Brock Purdy. I'm blitzing.
I'm
running man coverage. I'm making him beat us because I know that I have Justin Gardner. I know that I have Echo Boydo, and I have Julius Brents, big cornerbacks that can match up with any receiver. If they beat you down the field, so be it. But you got to put pressure on him.
Hey, here's the thing is when you go after quarterbacks, you take chances. And I can hear the voices of former K-State defensive coordinators saying, we just don't have the guys. They can't consistently cover. Well, nobody except the very, very elite corners can consistently cover in man. The thought is you don't have to cover as long. You just have to be with them to long enough to not let an easy pass happen. Don't get burned down the sideline where the quarterback can just throw it out there. The idea is you put so much pressure on the quarterback, even if the guy's open, he's not in a comfort level to complete it. Instead, you let the quarterback sit back there and pick the weakest link in your defensive backfield and say, I'm going to pick on you. You're giving too much edge there. Or you, like you brought up Dan Sorensen, oh, we've got a horrible mismatch here. They're in zone. I'm just going to sit back and, well, that contradicted himself because Dan Sorensen was in man when he was getting burned. But anyhow, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The quarterback then can pick where he wants to throw if he's got time. And you know what? You might, if you've got four receivers out, three of them might be covered. But if he's got time, he's going to find the fourth guy. Yep. And that's exactly what happens.
Mm-hmm. From Exhausted Nihilist, what are your expectations on how mobile Skyler might be after the off week?
I'm afraid Skyler's going to start overthinking this because it came up at the press conference today. He recognizes how much better he was just staying in the pocket. So now instead of instinctively running, I'm afraid he's going to sit there and go, and end up doing neither, which is what he does when he bleeds to the right. That's exactly what he's doing. I'm trying to stick with my receivers, but I want to run. And then he gets himself in a position where, while either decision might have worked, now neither will work. And so I hope he doesn't overthink it. I hope he can still go play, but I think he'll be more mobile. But I think he's also going to be very careful about when to run the ball because he wants to make it through the season. Aside from this injury, he doesn't want it again. So hopefully staying in the pocket will be good for him, but he'll still take off when he needs to take off. We saw it in the NFL on Sunday night. Both quarterbacks just gouging defenses that were dropping back in man. And, oh, nobody's watching me. Off I go.
I think that's what he can do. There's no reason Skylar Thompson can't do that. I think, especially if they're going to play man-to-man defense and bring pressure, like Iowa State should do.
They should.
I mean, if you really want to get to Skylar Thompson, you want to make him run. I mean, at the end of the day, that's going to be the defensive coordinator for Iowa State's goal is how do we get to the quarterback? Because if you can get to the quarterback and you can take him out of the game, then you know what the rest of the game is going to consist of. That should be their goal. But if you're Skylar Thompson, you also have to manage, okay, I'm a better quarterback when I'm in the pocket. That looked like a completely different Skylar Thompson against Oklahoma. And I'm all for that. I think the longer he stays in the pocket, the longer he actually throws the ball instead of running, it helps the offense. It helps the offense get into a rhythm. It helps us see some production from the receivers, which we haven't seen. I think a Skylar Thompson throwing the ball to an open receiver 6 yards down the field is better than a Skylar Thompson trying to run the ball 6 yards down the field and taking an unnecessary hit.
Right.
But with that being said, my expectations for Skylar Thompson this week are to have a little bit of quarterback run game back in the red zone, because that was something that was obvious that was missing on Saturday against Oklahoma.
I agree.
There was none of that. And Oklahoma knew he's either handing it off to Deuce or he's throwing it. That was completely obvious. That has to be something that you involve somehow in your offense, even if it's putting Will Howard in.
There we go. Zach, would you put Will Howard in at times just to run the ball?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to have a threat. But at the same time, you can't just do it like, you know, when K-State used to run the Wildcat with Charles Jones, mm-hmm. you know, you knew exactly what the play was. There was only one play. He was keeping it running up the middle. You can't do that with Will Howard.
No.
You have to allow him to at least get a rhythm to play quarterback and just be a realistic threat to throw the ball, hand the ball off. He can't just be completely running. And if that means giving him a series, maybe, but at the end of the day, if having Skyler with a rhythm, even if he's not a threat running the ball, and if you throw that off, putting Will in and he's not able to get a rhythm, I don't know if that's better, even if it gives you the threat that Will can run the ball.
Very good.
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a Wildcat formation. I really wouldn't. Put Malik Knowles back there. Put Deuce Vaughn and Joe Irvin back there. Do something to where you can have some type of quarterback run game. Not, it doesn't matter if it's not the quarterback. It just gives you an extra person on offense. You know, they were talking about it on the Sunday night game. When you run with the quarterback, that takes away, you know, somebody that can – it takes away an offensive player just standing there. They have got to find a way to run with the quarterback.
I agree.
Well, with Skylar Thompson, and Cole, you can correct me if I'm wrong here because you're the, you know, the X's and O's guys, but – guy, but he needs to understand that it's okay every once in a while to take a sack instead of Fitz, like you said, rolling out to the right and gaining or losing 1 yard. You know what I mean? The risk that you can get staying in the pocket and picking up yards, I think, is greater than maybe getting 1 yard on a run.
I think those are probably the toughest lessons for a young quarterback to learn.
Yeah, but he's not young anymore.
Well, he is. In the big scope of things, he is. When to throw it away and when just to tuck it under and just take a sack, get down, take the sack, don't get hit. I thought the line did a great job of protecting him for the most part. For a guy that wasn't mobile, who, it, you know, channeled his inner Ben Roethlisberger and just kind of stood there. You know, I thought it was, I thought they did a really good job. Again, if they want to win this game, the Lions have to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Last question of the first half comes from 3G Wildcat. Are K-State's third quarter misfires partially caused by a staff that was used to having the lead and being able to out-athlete opponents at North Dakota State?
I think that could be. I think a lot of the things that we see are related to coaches who have rarely been in these situations. But I am disturbed by the lack of effective adjustments at halftime. Did I just forget how to talk? What happened to me?
You got it out.
Did I have a little stroke there?
You've been listening to me too much.
You found yourself in a very odd situation.
A situation. They make adjustments. They're just not always effective. And I think Klanderman, you know, has mentioned this in one of his Thursday press conferences, that they need to be more willing to make adjustments during the first half, not wait till halftime.
Yeah.
And I think that does fall back to a group of coaches that are used to kicking everyone's butt. Or even if they were in a good game, they didn't really need to make adjustments. They knew they just keep doing what they do and they're going to win the game 95% of the time.
To me, it looks like in a boxing match when a boxer comes out and he just sits there and takes punches without punching. Well, then he gets knocked down. That's what happens in the third quarter against mm-hmm. K-State. They're seeing if the other team will tip their hand, but they're not gaining any ground from it. So it's like you're beating yourself in that way because you're trying to see what the other team made adjustments at halftime. So then you can make adjustments maybe in game. We've seen it work against Oklahoma. They made an adjustment in the second half where they shut down Oklahoma last year and ended up winning the game. But I think that sitting back and waiting to see what the other team tried to adjust, you need to worry about yourself.
Right.
And I think that's what gets them in trouble sometimes.
I can't help but wonder if these third quarter problems this year could be solved with just winning a coin toss.
No, I was just thinking the same thing. They end up having to take the ball.
They have to take the ball first. And I don't think that, I mean, they've done okay. They've done a lot better than they've been in the past, even going back to Snyder, I think. But you start off that third quarter on defense. I don't, how many points have they given up on that first drive? Because it seems like a lot. And then they come out flat, go three and out. I think they've probably gone three and out more than two or three times, it feels like. It just feels like they come out completely flat because they have to start the second half on defense.
It's amazing. They're on a four-game losing streak with the flip.
Five.
They apparently did win the flip at Stanford.
What?
That's what I thought they'd lost it, but it's in the packet as they won it. I don't remember them winning it.
Wait, so you're telling me that they give up points on the first drive of the second half because they're on defense? Maybe because there's not as many people in the stadium.
I'm not going to go that far because they played at they played at Oklahoma State once. Then again, they didn't give up any points that game.
Just saying.
Zero in the third quarter.
I'm going to make a note about a daily delivery. Thank you. Thank you, Cole.
Thank you. Conspiracy.
Cole-spiracy.
Oh, that's it for the first half of the podcast.
While you're writing down your DD idea.
I'll do this first and then write. That is the first half of the Powercat Questions podcast, brought to you by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. On the other side, we'll take more of your questions from Wabash Station. And folks, if you're not subscribing to GoPowercat.com, think about it. Just think about it. Just go check that $1 for your first month thing and go check us out for a whole month for $1. And if you watch our YouTube videos, make sure you check that subscribe button. That one's completely free. You don't even have to pay. You can pay Zach $1. Go ahead and mail him $1.
GoPowerCat.com's PowerCat podcast continues after this short break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome back to the Power Cat Podcast. Now, let's return to the GPC studios.
Welcome back to the PowerCat Questions Podcast. I know when you're sitting at home and listening to this, you feel like they just stopped the tape and then restarted it, and now I get to listen to the second half. We had a whole bunch of stuff that went on in between. We talked about all kinds of stuff.
Chiefs super fans.
All kinds of stuff. Super fans, people who think they're super fans, people who think they get to decide who are fans, and all that kind of good stuff. Anyhow, we're sponsored by The Fridge. They are the Twitter of alcohol.
Addicting?
Hashtag, I don't know. I'm not sure.
They ban people for no good reason?
It wasn't a good promo. I'm going to just say it. I don't know why they're the Twitter of alcohol. But just go there. Just go there.
They don't get shut
their
down.
Stock prices.
They don't get shut down like the other social media sites.
Man, get into the fridge when you're in town. Make sure you stop into Aggieville or downtown or wherever your favorite Manhattan locally owned business is. And if you're in Aggieville, stop in Tanner's, the High Low, and say, hey, Fitz sent me. What's the special? What's the Fitz special? And they'll look at you like, I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know who Fitz is. Unless you ask Charlie. You know, the GM at Tanner's. They'll know. Let's move on. Hey, Gills, you got more of those questions?
No.
That's it? That's it? You sure? I'm pretty sure we give you two halves of questions to ask.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, we're going to turn it over to Gills, and either he'll read a question from Wabash Station or do a delightful musical number.
Okay. From K-Ned, I'm going to do option number one on that one.
Good.
While it is not listed on the schedule, the separate inclusion schedule says the K-State Trailblazers will be celebrated Saturday. Just curious, has the athletic department sent out a press release, spread the story to the media in advance, or try to get any publicity for it?
They listed it in the initial diversity and inclusion press release, but that is it. There was no explanation.
Okay, so what's going on campus? Explain.
I was just going to go there.
Yeah, do it.
So today there was today was Tuesday, and today was the KS Unite, and it is a diversity inclusion program where last year they canceled all the classes and encouraged the kids to go and be a part of it. They had a really good turnout. Basically, it's just about how to promote diversity on campus and come together. And honestly, I think it's something that the campus needs, especially with everything that happened last year with the students, with everything. The campus needed it. And this year, I mean, it needs it too. We're obviously in unprecedented times, but it was not promoted. I did not find out about this until 11 o'clock at night last night. And they had one of the Little Rock Nine who, if you're not familiar, was the first school to integrate to integrate schools. And so she talked on Zoom to any K-State student that wanted to be a part of it. But instead of canceling class like they did last year and saying, hey, you know, go do this, they didn't say anything. I had to email my teacher and say, hey, I'm going to be a social studies teacher. I think it's important that I listen to this talk. Is it okay if I don't come to class? She emailed me back and said, yeah, I wish they canceled class. Go ahead. I'll give you an excused absence, blah, 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 blah. But think about how many kids had no idea that that was going on and that something like that even existed at K-State. There's so many things like that that go on. And, I mean, it's almost like K-State doesn't want to promote that they have other things. I don't know. I don't know where I'm really going with this, but I think it goes directly into what K-Ned is asking and talking about. When are we going to acknowledge that K-State has, like he always talks about, a history of doing some really cool things? And there's also stuff of history that's not so good that needs to be talked about that K-State just kind of refuses to talk about. I don't know, Fitz.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool, and I think it's a good part to remind this generation of everything that's happened over my lifetime. The Little Rock, I think, was 57. It was before I was born, believe it or not. I know, Gills, everything seems like it was after I was born. After Fitz, AF. That's how they start measuring time.
That's what that means?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's incredible when I look back at my life. I was born in 64. How far we've come. But I don't think we should forget the journey. I think it's important to remember, and I don't mean this in a way where we should, you know, punish ourselves for past sins. I just think it's important to remember where we were and how far we've come. Because honestly, I don't think enough people appreciate how far we have come. Whenever I hear someone talk about same is worse now, never. I lived through this stuff. I know how bad it was. And so I think it's cool. And I am with K-Net on this. I think K-State does a lousy job of really pushing these things about K-State. For all we complain about, John Curry, putting up that sign that's saying the what was that thing? The best case, the campus friendliest. What was it?
Number one college town in America from some random blog, basically.
Right. It was just some random blog.
Probably the same blog that made a certain sports bar in Aggieville the number one sports bar in the world.
I think that blog went out of business. I think they were shut down. That's great promotion. Yeah. Shout it from the mountain. Even if it's not that important to everyone else, you still get to put it in front of them. This stuff is important. So, Kenneth, to get to your question, we don't know what they're going to do on Saturday for the Trailblazers. And I apologize. I did not ask, but I don't think I don't know that I would have been able to get to the right person. I don't know what's planned, or maybe they don't want to tell me at this point because they want it to be a surprise. I hope it's not just, hey, we're going to put this on a schedule and then we're going to make one announcement and call it good.
That's what I'm worried about, because I could definitely see something like that happening. It's going to be a spot that runs during a TV timeout. That's what I'm worried about.
We should have somewhere in our sports complex a statue similar to Ernie Barrett and Bill Snyder of all the Trailblazers, of all of the people who broke or helped break color barriers at Kansas State University. And K-Ned's listed them up and down who they are. This institution was significant because of Milton Eisenhower, and thank you, K-Ned, for the education, of breaking the color barrier in the Big 7 / Big 8. K-State, Iowa State, you know, Jack Trice was early. I mean, it's unbelievable how early he played. But we were sharing a conference with Southern schools, Oklahoma being Southern at the time, who absolutely did not want black student athletes on the field with their white guys. And Milton Eisenhower said, fine. You know, the rule was the home team made the rules. And Milton Eisenhower says, fine. We're still bringing them. We're still going to play them. We should celebrate these things. And not just because one day a year we're going to call it Trailblazer Day. This should be on campus. It should be a place where kids and parents can walk by the statue and a plaque will outline the importance of this. We should brag about it. Mm-hmm. We absolutely should brag about it. But again, the humble Midwest ways, it's almost like, well, we don't want to talk about ourselves. That's not how the world works, Zach. You got to talk about yourself. You got to promote yourself. You got to get out there. And K-Net is pushing it. He's pushing it. Sometimes he might push too hard. But I tell you what, he's making progress on this. He's making progress. And I don't know where the money comes from, but I would hope there would be money out there, because those statues aren't cheap to build something like that. We need to honor, recognize, embrace it. But most of all, we need to celebrate it. This is a cool campus. My only problem with this night of inclusion, whatever, I'm an outsider, but I've never felt like there's racial tension on the K-State campus. Maybe there was last year. I know there was a lot of stuff going on last year. There was a lot of stuff going on in the locker room. I know there was a lot of side stories to everything that went on last year. But I always felt it's a very welcoming campus. And I think that was reflected in the campus being recognized for its openness to LGBTQ, whatever. You know, I get lost now. And, you know, I saw that list of the top 50 institutions or something, and there was only a few state institutions mm-hmm. on it, and Kansas State was on the list. Mm-hmm. And this is what's great about Midwestern people. They're like, oh, you're gay. Oh, you're black. Oh, you're Catholic. Oh, you're Jewish. We don't care. And we need to celebrate that.
Doesn't get celebrated enough. And I think having a plaque could make the difference between a kid choosing to come to K-State and a kid choosing to go somewhere else. Not just sports, just school in general,
right?
Because that leads to a story. And when you have stories that are positive stories in a time of negative times like that, people like to hear that.
That's right. And Cole's right. At the very end of the day, it ends up being great marketing. You can, like I pointed out, Kansas State doesn't have a very diverse campus because we don't have a very diverse population base in Kansas. But if you start embracing these things, diversity will find you.
Yep.
And maybe they need to put an eye on that.
From Joe Katz, and this is his first, his or her. Was that okay. Inclusive?
Okay, spell it. Joe.
J-O Katz.
Johnson County?
Jordan Katz. Henriquez.
Yeah.
Wow. Welcome, J-O.
This person's first post in a long time, and they
No, it's a first-time question asker, long-time member.
Oh, God, dang it.
See,
the first-time caller, long-time listener.
They're missing out because they never listened to,
They've never listened to Art Bell.
It was Art Bell. I did this right. The last time I read the questions, I did it right.
They haven't spent enough time in their lives listening to late-night talk radio.
Just listen to AM.
Just the AM.
810. Does Seren still take phone calls?
Yes.
I'm sure that people introduce themselves first time, long time.
I called into the show a while ago.
You did?
That's right.
Surprised you and X Factor and hanging out.
It also says they also missed the Insiders podcast. Zach, is that correct?
That is correct. You did read that word for word.
We talked to Ryan Black about this today.
I mentioned, there's
twofold reasons why we don't have the Insiders anymore. First of all, it was extremely hard to get everyone together, and you know, Kellis often had to watch his boys, or is it just boys?
I think it's just boys.
Okay, and Matt would be in and out because of work, And that's a sub reason. Now we're doing this for my house, and it's a little more awkward to have a bunch of guys show up at your house that don't work for you. You guys have to do this. And the other reason is I really wanted to make the post-game podcast better, and the downloads would vary so much based on wins and losses. I wanted to find a way to turn it into more of an examination that people could get over the loss, and it's worked. That has worked. Our numbers are way up on the post-game review podcast from what the post-game podcast was. Our numbers are way up on all of our podcasts right now, and including the pre-game podcast is blowing through the roof. So that bumps into Monday. We already, between the drive and the post-game review podcast, we've got two podcasts on Monday, and finding any other day in the week to try to do the Insiders is just impossible. It's honestly made my life a lot easier in that. Going back on the road, I needed to lighten my load a little bit because I ain't what I used to be. I know you guys are shocked.
But you were good once as you ever was.
I was kind of good. I was above average. My best was okay. And now I'm a little bit below that.
Are we going to get to his question?
His or her?
Well, what was the question again?
We never asked it because we got on this rant.
Okay, good.
Insiders podcast. I'm sorry. In this current era of realignment, transfer portal, and NIL, is there any actual chance for anyone other than a blue blood to ever complete, let alone win a national championship in football?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm a big believer of unintended consequences.
I think it opens it up.
I think it does, too. I think we're seeing it. I think we're seeing these big programs that have the players getting the big NILs, all that stuff. They're getting big paydays. I think we're seeing them peel apart a little bit because that is an enormous distraction. That's a distraction with professionals. If a guy gets a contract his teammates don't think he deserves, that's a distraction. If someone gets a NIL deal that the rest of the players don't understand and can't figure it out, and they're 19, 20 years old, hell yeah, that's a major issue. These aren't professionals. These are kids going to college. It's going to be a big distraction. And you can't just stockpile talent and tell them they can't leave anymore. You were just mentioning Dabo Swinney's upset. Well, he's upset because players are going to be leaving his program left and right because they're going to go there and realize, hey, I'm third string here and I'm a five-star recruit. I'm going to go somewhere else. I think it's going to have a nice trickle down for a lot of programs, including K-State, that embrace the transfer portal. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe it'll end up being just the opposite. Maybe it'll settle into a groove and all the five stars will want to go where all the best money is and the top ones will stay and the other ones will leave. I don't know, but I think it's going to spread out the wins a little bit.
I mean, I think look at Spencer Rattler and what happened to him this
Rattler.
Last week. Rattler.
I'm reading an article by SI that came out 3 days ago, and they talk about just exactly that. Fowler Auto in Norman, Oklahoma gave him two brand new cars, a 2021 Charger and a 2021 Ram.
Why? Why would they do that? Why does this kid need two cars?
Yeah.
How is that good business? And they're doing it because they're OU fans, yep. Not because it's good for business. That's my problem with NIL. They're clearly just paying the player. But they also probably disrupted the program a great deal by doing that.
An estimated $200,000 worth of NIL deals.
For Spencer?
Yep.
And I'm curious.
If he transfers, did you walk away with the cars?
Giving cars away is kind of a tax problem. I mean, you got to pay property taxes on those. Who's expecting a 19, 20-year-old kid to understand the implications of taking a free car? Because it's not free.
Well, this article brings up another good point with DJ Eagle from Clemson. Sorry, I don't know how you say your name.
It's
the quarterback. Quarterback, Iagula or something. I believe that's how it's close to that.
Just move position.
He's in a Dr. Pepper
number.
Commercial. He's in a Dr. Pepper commercial.
Why?
About the college football playoff, oddly enough.
At least that's reasonable. That's not, you know, that's Dr. Pepper saying, hey, we already sponsor the college football playoff. Why not go get one of the guys? I think that's different than some Joe Schmo car dealership saying, hey, drive our car around. We're going to give you two of them, and they're both 2021s. Congrats. You know, my deal with NIL is eventually it's going to – the people that provide value, whether it's their skill position or not, are going to end up making the money. It's all going to even out at the end. You're not going to see these $6,000 a year deals to walk-ons to everyone that's a walk-on on the program. At some point, the money's going to run out to where it's like, hey, it's just not worth it. The people that can earn money on their own and on their own merit are going to get the money.
Yeah, we talked about NIL, but I don't think the conference realignment, quite honestly, has that big of an impact on who gets into the playoff, because now with these super conferences, if you win, you're going to be in. At the end of the day, the teams who win the most are going to be the teams that get into the playoff. I fully believe that. Big 12 is going to be completely fine on that front. So I don't think conference realignment is going to have that much of an impact. I really don't.
Well, I think it does, because OU and Texas just cannibalized themselves.
Yeah, okay, on that front, yes.
Yeah, I think
you just got rid of two blue bloods that are going into the field of blue bloods.
That are going
it
to be
is
left
stupid.
It's their idiotic. Fault.
It is so stupid from a competition standpoint. It is all about the money, and that's all that is. But if you want to talk about competition, yeah, it's going to open up the door
to
a lot
of
other teams.
I don't know if it's Oklahoma or Texas, but one of them is going to become Nebraska of the SEC. The blue blood.
Is Texas already there? You know,
yeah, and they could be. They could be them.
I could see both teams, though, to be completely honest.
Yeah. They're not going to get calls. They're not going to get every replay review they want.
Twice.
One of them is going to become Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be Ole Miss.
Ole Miss used to be good.
Mm-hmm.
They might be good at softball or baseball, but they're not going to be good at football.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And they're going to hire Lane Kiffin.
I think in a weird way, I think it's exciting because it's going to shuffle the deck. Now, maybe they'll end up holding all the cards again, but I think we're going to find out pretty quickly.
From KSU Man, if we make it to a bowl game this year, will K-State fans be happy?
I have a sense that fans aren't happy.
Six and six is nobody's going to be happy with that.
No, and I saw someone post 7 wins won't make them happy. I'm like, whoa, hold on here. You're coming off of a season that fell apart, and you're only in the third season of a new coaching staff. Yeah, I think 8 wins is important, but 7 wins, you're going to be disappointed with that?
I think people will be disappointed with 7 wins because that means you had a losing record in conference play.
Well, that's a valid, very valid point.
I think if you go to a bowl game in the DFW Metroplex, you're going to be disappointed. And then if you go one step up, you go back to Phoenix or you go back to Memphis, which are kind of the two next level bowls. Yeah, I can see you being a little disappointed that you got to go make the same trip that you made in the last 4 years. And if you go to the Texas Bowl, there's 1 year before that. I mean, I get, and well, it's one thing that sucks about they did not realign the bowls at all for the Big 12, sucks. And that's probably playing in the factor. It plays a factor into fans' disappointment because who wants to go to Memphis for the third time in 6 years? Nobody. I mean, we don't want to. So that's why it's exciting to see Jerry Palm of CBS projecting K-State to go play Clemson in the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando. I get that would not be maybe that fun of a game, but at least it's a new location. You know, and that means you want a significant number of wins too. So I think that's kind of how I see the line of being happy, being disappointed. Just get to a bowl game that you haven't been to and you kind of earn it. If you go 7-5, yeah, your season wasn't the worst it could have been, but you're in a place where you feel like you've been before, especially recently. There's not much improvement.
The biggest challenge is the bowls are boring.
Extremely.
The Big 12 selection of bowls are boring. Iowa State got into the New Year's Day bowls last year. I mean, if that opens up for Kansas State, that'll be huge. Or the Florida Bowl, which is now the Cheez-It Bowl. Very confusing. But, yeah, Zach's right. The fact that they didn't make any changes in their bowl lineup when everyone else was is so Big 12. Oh, we're fine. We're just not going to change. They were finally forced to change and did a good job with it. Now they need to turn their attention to the bowl games for the new conference because they're going to get screwed out of. They're going to end up with the Belk Bowl or, you know.
I would take the Belk
Potato
Bowl.
Potato Bowl.
Well, the Belk Bowl is actually, well, it's the Duke's Mayo Bowl now, but.
Oh, yeah.
Gross, but they are phenomenal on social media.
Well, it's good advertising because I had never heard of Duke's Mayo. It's a Southern thing. Apparently, mm-hmm. It's a big deal. But, yeah, they just got to find something better and not. Hey, you get to go back to Phoenix or Memphis for the 17th time in 12 right. years. Oh, come on, man.
Like, go back to the Holiday Bowl, which I guess is going to be played in Petco.
Cool.
I feel like we talked about that. Either on the air or off the air, I don't remember, but we talked about the Holiday Bowl. And we're like, are they even going to play it? They're going to play it at
Petco.
That's
cool. It's great. It's a great stadium, by the way.
Yeah. If Riverfront and Wichita can host football, why not Petco?
Does it?
Yeah, they're playing the JUCO championship there, the Jayhawk championship.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's really cool.
And I thought, go Shockers. There's your football field.
From El Camino Cat, did any of you get a chance to go to the basketball open practice? What are your thoughts?
Gills.
And I Cole. Was there, too.
Oh, Cole was there, too. Yeah, that's right. Young
Gills
guys.
Gills and
Cole. What'd you think?
Well, I think it's funny because I am how Cole is with football, with basketball. I'm very optimistic. I see everything glass half full. I thought they looked good. You know, there was a good energy, a good vibe, a lot different than last year. Guys were engaged, a lot of effort. And I know that I'm trying to, you know, find good things in this team, but I don't think we saw that last year. And not that last year's guys didn't care, but guys like Dejuan and Antonio, those are not the guys you want in your locker room. I don't know if there's anybody here on this team that there's any real skepticism with. I know Selton Miguel had some, you know, is he going to accept his role as a primarily, you know, a defender? I think he has. You know, I think another thing me and Cole, we were talking about was just how different those guys look. I mean, Davion Bradford put on some weight, some muscle. He's looking good. Casey, all of them down the line, they looked good. Luke Gazubki didn't make many shots, but everyone else looked really good.
Wow.
Wow.
One more thing. Davion Bradford was shooting out from deep, and he was making shots.
Well, he's got really soft hands, good basketball skill set. It would make sense to me that he can extend his shot.
He looks like a different person. When I saw him, I said, who is that guy? I mean, he looks like he could go out right now in Bill Snyder Family Stadium and play tight end. I mean, he had some of that baby fat, you know, that we saw. And at times he was, let's just be frank. He was out of shape at times. He could not stay in the game because he got tired. That's not going to happen this year. He looks really good. And I know people talk about in spring training with Major League Baseball, oh, he's in the best shape of his life. That's kind of a cliche. Well, you're kind of at that point right now with K-State basketball, but I agree with Ron.
Yo, Cole, why'd you mention Frank? yeah, it's a freshman. You know what I mean? It's a guy that had never gone through serious weight training. Goes through serious weight training. Will Howard did it too. I'm optimistic because I think they cleaned up their locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame the sophomores for being part of the problem. I think they were infected with the problem. They came into a locker room that was just dysfunctional.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think it spilled over to them. And they've kind of wiped the slate clean. They've gone out and found some guys that helped them on the court, but in the locker room. I think Mark Smith's a huge addition off the court. And Bruce Weber talked about it in one of our press conferences, was that he's just a natural leader. And he's good for the young guys. So I'm hopeful that the sum of their parts is greater than the talent that they've amassed, because everyone else in the Big 12 got more talented too. I'm optimistic because I like these guys a lot. And I'm going to be honest with you folks. I haven't liked a lot of the players Bruce Weber's brought in. He hit a trio of players, but even then he had some issues. I think he's got a good, really solid group of guys. Now, I'm not talking about the whole Boy Scout. He's got good players who are good teammates, natural leaders, which I've said over and over, Bruce Weber needs natural leaders because he doesn't develop them. He inherits them. He finds them. He was gifted Rodney Magruder, and Barry Brown became a badass.
Who was there at the practice?
He was.
And having him around as much as possible, I think, is really good for the having him and Rod around, two natural leaders, two alphas that are very positive. You can sometimes have a leader who's also a jerk. Those guys weren't. The teammates loved them. So, yeah, I'm optimistic. I'm looking forward to this basketball season.
The players never took ownership of the program.
No.
At the end of the day, the players never did. And in order, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're in a company, if you're on a football team, if you're on a baseball team, if you're driving a dump truck, you have to take ownership of whatever you're doing.
Mm.
And
Zach's a fan of dump trucks.
We love the dump truck.
Love the dump truck. Hey, they didn't lose any of their freshmen, did they? Am I missing someone?
No, everyone stayed.
Folks, that's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
granted,
sign.
I think somebody, maybe Kazuki or Lingard, somebody's going to transfer after this year.
I agree with that. It's inevitable now that you're going to lose players.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they didn't lose any of those core rebuild guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we thought the sophomores were the rebuild. They weren't. They were the best they could do. This group is the rebuild. I don't know why you have to rebuild after 8, 9, 10 years, but here we are. But at least they're a rebuild. I like this group a lot.
A couple other things. Cole, we didn't see Selton Miguel there at all, did we? Or
he
not Selton, pardon me. Siri Lewis.
No.
We didn't see him at all.
He was injured.
He was injured, yeah.
He's
done. Yeah. We didn't even see him. Lingard didn't practice, and then Massoud, real deal, 100%. All the hype we're hearing, I believe it 100%. He can score, he can shoot, he's quick. Dean Wade, round two.
I think easily. He fits Weber's system a lot better than he did at Wake Forest.
Oh, yeah. He played the five at Wake Forest.
Yeah, they were – well, yeah, there was a rebuild. They were asking him to do different things. But him in that stretch four is going to be great. Great. He's going to have to defend probably at a higher level than he ever has. Something Dean did exceptionally well. Two things Dean does exceptionally well is defend and pass. That's really what made Dean Wade's
– and find soft spots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like you did in my heart.
You're too kind.
Jack just checked out. He's still thinking about dump trucks.
Last question comes from El Camino Cat once again. Who are the starting five and top three off the bench?
Oh, we're still on hoops. Man, El Camino went hoops on us.
I like it. Bring it on, baby.
Who are your starting five?
Pack at the one.
Oh, then, really?
Yeah, it's okay. Hot take right okay. There. Do you have like an alarm sound effect you can put on there?
I could, but I'm not. I'm not going to work that. I already have to bleep out your language early on. That's all you get.
McGurl, Smith, Massoud, Bradford.
You're starting McGurl.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to have him on the court just to start okay. The game.
I disagree with you totally, but he will start. I mean, Bruce will start him out of loyalty.
Yeah.
I think, and I've said this now for 2+ years, if Mike McGurl's in your starting lineup, you're not Big 12 level.
Who would you put? Selton Miguel there?
I don't know.
Be your fifth best guy that's there for energy.
I think he's I think he's the fifth best scoring option on that team, on that starting five.
But see, you've said exactly why I want him off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
He'll bring that leadership,
true,
that calm and a scoring ability and a defending ability off the bench. And when he was at his best, that's what he was asked to do. So I'm not sure who I put in there, but.
What about Luis Colon? How many minutes a game did he play?
15.
But he started.
He started.
So,
well, he keep in mind he only played those minutes because he typically, if he'd played 30, he would have had 17 fouls. Three of them intentional. Uh-huh. One of them included a punch. So
I mean, that's just
that's
typical
a big, man
big. That's typical big guy minutes, though. For when you start right. A big guy like Luis was, you play him early a little bit, but then he kind of plays sparingly when you need him. It's all about the start of the game there, and I don't think Mike McGurl's a start of the game guy. He's that first guy off the bench, I think.
I think one guy who we haven't talked about yet, and I forgot to mention him when we were talking about practice, is Marquise Noel.
Yeah.
He is
quick.
I don't want to say that he's going to be better than Nigel Pack. Because if I say he's going to be better than Nigel Pack, I am completely over exaggerating how good he actually is.
So Caleb Williams is in the Hall of Fame?
Let's just say that for backup point guards, Marquise Noel, he should be your sixth man.
Best in the country. Well, wow.
Noel he's got a backup point guard. I would anticipate him to be on the court at the same time as Pack.
He is the primary point guard when he's on the court. That's all he can do. I mean, he's 3'2".
And I would not be opposed to seeing Noel and at the one and Pack at the two. I mean,
no, I think that's their intention.
That's what I just said, yeah.
That, he'll be on the court at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you look at Bruce Weber teams, he's best when he has two point guards on the floor, which is a new thing. And maybe he considers Mike that. I don't consider Mike a point guard. But I'm intrigued. They have options. They have options that don't include guys that we hoped would improve enough to be good. And that's a shot at the sophomore class that didn't come back. It's a total shot. They're all – have fun, Missouri. Have fun. That's it.
Isn't it awesome to see Curtis Kelly? Cool.
Oh, yeah. He's all – he brings so much energy.
He loves K-State. He loves it.
I love Kurt so much, and I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen him yet.
I've seen him at Lucha.
Yep. I know. I'm a homebody now. Get off my back.
Come see me.
Yeah,
Zach Kurt, was there this weekend. I wasn't.
I hope Kurt's a guy that finds a home here. And I don't mean like physical home, but.
Can you sleep in your guest house? Bedroom?
Yeah. Like, even if his coaching career didn't take off, life in Manhattan flourishes for him because, you know, he's from New York. He's talked about some of the things he needs to stay away from. So I love Kurt. I loved his game. Usually I don't like casual guys that come off as casual, but he was so cool about it. And I was like, I'm going to step out here and just shoot this 18 footer.
That's what Davion's turned into. Don't be surprised when he shoots the ball this
year. I love Davion Bradford. That dude's a beast. It's a beast. Got a dump truck.
Thank you for listening to the Power Cat Podcast. Make sure you're subscribing to our show at Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Power Cat Podcast, all rights reserved, gopowercat.com.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS, here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, they got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.